It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm so
happy to be home.
I've made us a tea that we're all gonna have. So this is hibiscus, cardamom, ginger, honey with lime. This lovely, look at that.
You love a tea now.
She loves a tea.
She loves a tea.
No, it's actually
Matika.
Matikas.
There you go, there's the brand.
We've been trying to find the name.
No, it's too weird.
No, Makita's Steepers.
I don't like those glasses for margaritas.
I was going to ask Mish what he'd like to drink out of, because me and Mish are having a margarita.
There we go. Yeah, after the tea. Can I have my tea moment?
Yeah, it's the tea.
Screw the tea.
We're going to have our tea moment. I was going to talk about the rose petal.
Oh, yeah, come on. So what is this? Hibiscus?
Hibiscus, yeah. Cardamom.
Yum.
Rose.
Green cardamom.
Lime honey.
Ooh.
Nice.
And how do you make that?
You just cook it up.
Steep it.
This is the thing.
But what is hibiscus?
It's like a flower. It's like a red flower.
Oh, yeah, flowering.
And we call it sorrel in the Caribbean.
Oh,
no, yes. We have that sorrel. It's the same thing.
Welcome to the audience.
Cheers. Thanks for having us, guys.
So we've made a fresh corn succotash.
Oh my God.
It's like a brown butter sweet corn puree.
Oh my God.
Charred corn, fresh green beans, black eyed peas, and crispy okra. And then there's Matt kale macerated with, we make our own all-purpose seasoning, and a little bit of sugar and a few other little bits of nice things.
Oh my God, yum.
Then we've got a roast
cake. Oh my God.
Fish curry.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah, love a fish curry.
For fire planting because, you know.
Oh. Oh my God, delicious.
And then we've got tamarind and onion seasoned rice.
Mm. I feel I'm gonna freak out.
Yeah.
I'm already so excited.
That's what that means. Coconut gravy.
Oh, wow. Guys.
Yeah, we can clap
and
really.
Wow. Oh my God.
I enjoy saying all of that.
Wow, my God. I'm so excited.
Welcome to our house.
Mm,
welcome to Wanstead.
You.
And who have you brought with you?
Mm. I've brought Meshach Henry to lunch today. Mish is my... I hate this word.
I know you do.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's a bad word, isn't it? I never know what to call Mish. I always say my boyfriend, but it's more... Boyfriend feels like temporary. It's been 3 weeks.
If you put a ring on someone's finger, it's time to say fiance to the world.
The word fiance,
I think ever since getting engaged, I've never said fiance.
Fiance.
I'm like, fiance. I'm like, I can't
do it.
Can I ask a question?
Icks
then
me
what's
out.
The point?
It's a great question.
I think on my part, I think we got engaged, but then we were still where we were. You know, some people get engaged and they feel like everything's changed.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we're now engaged. And I'm like, we've not been like that. So it does feel still normal to not say.
What? Let me ask you why you want to get married.
I think it would be nice to make that commitment to each other, mm-hmm. of course. I also think, not to, in a flippant way, I think it's a really nice reason to have a party. And I don't mean like, let's everyone just get drunk somewhere. I think it's really nice to have a party that celebrates just a lovely, like we really love each other. Mm. Please come and watch. Yeah. It's nice, isn't it? It's a nice thing, isn't it? And I think it's just like good vibes for everyone and family coming together and friends coming together.
And why do nice you want me to marry you?
Oh, yeah.
Are
you going to marry him?
Yeah, Makia's going to be the priest.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
In Farrakhan.
We already know what she's wearing.
Yeah, we've got the outfit.
What are you wearing? Hooded lilac see-through Maximilian Davis.
Yeah, we saw it at a fashion show. Oh, and Makia, and we were like, that's it.
We've secured it.
Called Max, we were like,
the bitch, Makia the bitch.
But we do want Keats to marry us, genuinely. Keats and I had a night out, and Keats introduced me to Mish.
Of course she did. So but I didn't know Mish.
No. You just sort of, you know, you were like, that's your husband. Yeah. We're going to go and talk to him. And I was like, no.
Well, me and Keats got chatting before me and you got chatting, which is kind of also partly why the setup of Keats marrying us is perfect.
Oh, my God.
Because I met you before
she's gonna
I met
cry.
And also...
I am going to cry.
Also, you're a good orator. So there's a connection and
having a broadcast.
Pretty good at broadcasting. No. Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
do you know what I mean? You got a professional up there.
Let's do this.
In the hooded see-through gown. So it's just going to be a really simple wedding with Makita. Makita starting the ceremony completely topless and very traditional.
And we were talking today about where you're from, Mish, because you're Jamaican, but so many of your family came up to me and said they were Antiguan.
The bloodline is wild.
Right.
I couldn't sit here and tell you of the pockets of where I'm from.
Could mom or dad tell you?
Yeah, they could tell me. It's more that my relationship to, I guess, my dad's side of the family, and not, I mean, the people, I mean, just the actual culture. This is so bad. Like, I'm so removed from Jamaican culture that I don't know anything about where my family sit in it.
Right.
Which is crazy.
But we did talk about the fact that you did have like proper genuine fear about going to Jamaica as a gay couple.
Yeah.
And I was saying we were surprised to have found an LGBTQ plus community in Barbados. But my mum went to Jamaica and she said it was a different atmosphere.
This was years ago. So the first time Garth, because Garth was Jamaican, we're Antiguan.
He's one of you.
he took me to Jamaica. I had a really good time. And then we were in Montego Bay. And then we went to see our friend Ari, who was in the Slits. She was Ari Up. She was a lead singer in the Slits. She then became a dancehall queen called Medusa.
Yes, oh my God, did she? Amazing.
Yeah. What a life Ari had.
Yeah, Ari was like, oh, there's a dance. And so in my day, a dance was like peace and love, bit split. Everybody was like, you know, oh, yes, darling, you know, nice up the area. Everything's like Iry Dread, like just chilled. This dance she took me to, it was really homophobic. Mm-hmm. And it was like a kind of weird hate rally.
Yeah.
Oh. And I got really freaked. Mm-hmm. Like, I got scared, but I also got so upset just being in that...
Yeah, in that energy,
space. Mm-hmm. I've never been in that kind of... around that kind of vicious... like twisted shit, you know what I mean? Because you take yourself out of those situations. And I found myself surrounded by people waving lighters in the air, talking about how they were going to chop people up. And everybody came on, did a 10-minute like homophobic rant and then started singing. And I was like, I've got to get the fuck out. Yeah. Get me out of here now.
I've got such short knowledge on Jamaica generally, but what I do have knowledge on is just how I feel about their views towards people like me.
It's not all of Jamaica. It's not all of Jamaican culture, but there is a strand of Jamaican culture and Caribbean culture that is... really very homophobic.
Yeah. Yeah. Grim, have you ever had, like what my mum was talking about, have you ever been anywhere where you felt unsafe?
When I was younger, like whenever I went to like anything like alpha male-y. So I remember when I started going out when I was like a teenager and I just felt like I knew I was gay, but had not said I was gay, like not trying to dance too gay. So I remember like that feeling.
How does that go?
I don't know. I was just very like arm conscious or like really conscious of like
baby you.
How I'd stand and like, oh, maybe a man, like a straight man would stand more like this or something. Like, all right, bye. All right, darling. So a bit, something like that. So I remember being like conscious of that and like feeling unsafe. Generally, from going out age up until probably moving to London, I felt like on edge at nights out.
Wow.
Because I think people, not like I was going to get attacked, but that you'd be, you know,
felt vulnerable.
Vulnerable. Or someone might say something really horrible to you, or someone maybe might punch you. I don't know. So you're just like on edge. You're on like, you know, on
alert. I think if there's something, anything about you that makes you feel other or different to the people around you, you are constantly on edge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And constantly on the lookout because things can switch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've experienced it and you know it could happen at any given moment.
And
you know what I mean?
And I used to get it when I go to, like, the football. And when it was, like, surrounded by, like, a lot of, like, testosterone in the air. Mm. That sense of, like, brewing, there could be a fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm gay, so I'm, like, the weakest wildebeest in the pack here. Yeah. Like, I'm going out first.
Did you ever talk to Pete about being gay? I know that he, because obviously your dad, Pete, we lost him before we met Mish.
I mean, not like, did I? Yeah, I think I did. I did when I was like older and, you know, he'd say like, seeing anyone. But my dad was like, you know, like born in 1941.
Right.
But my dad was really good. Like my dad wasn't, definitely was, you know, accepting of everyone. And also like he loved loads of gays when I was growing up in our house.
Oh, yeah.
So I always felt like it was all right. I didn't feel like, you know, he loved, he's a northern man who loved the football, but you know, he wasn't like.
Wasn't a bigot.
No, he wasn't a bigot.
He wasn't a bigot.
So, you know,
who do you like? George Michael?
Loved George Michael. But you know who he really loved? Boy George. He loved Boy George, loved Elton. And then he had neighbours that were a gay couple and they were like the same age. So my dad bonded with them because they both like gardening.
When did you start dancing?
When I was, I guess, seriously dancing, I was like 14. 14 is quite late to start.
Right.
I think obviously you've got these kids who do like ballet from a young age, at the age, they're like, I was dancing before I was walking, you know, all that stuff. But I was always athletic. I was always moving before I was actually just dancing.
So didn't you do everything? Like
I did everything.
Boxing, track and field.
Hurdles, long jump, high jump, 200 metres, 100 metres, gymnastics. So I was,
That's why we get on. We just love sport.
It's the same thing, yes.
My spine has always been.
It's just like you, gymnastics.
He can't even touch his toes.
Excuse me. Got Pilates tomorrow. I'm going to learn.
So guess what time it is?
What time?
Margarita time!
Oh, Mom.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh.
Is it good?
Wow.
Is it really
it was nice with a bit more crushed ice.
Oh my God.
So the kale is very figwimmy and the margarita is very figwimmy.
There we go.
Do you know what I love about Mish that you guys all love? What Mish does. When Mish will have had like a busy day at work, he will make a cocktail at night when he gets in as if he's like going on MasterChef. Yeah, Mad Men. So he'll put his glass in the freezer, go and get in the shower, and he'll do himself like a dirty martini.
That's so good.
It's actually only a dirty martini.
And he has his own olive-specific metal skewer.
I love
And he'll make a martini for himself. Like, when he gets up from work. I don't mean in a selfish
way.
I don't want
no, but that's self-care.
So, isn't that self-care?
That is self-care. Making something delicious
and that,
for yourself that
and
you
that
love.
Practice. Go that's on. My cooking. That's my yoga. That's my ritual.
Dirty martini. No, but that's, no, it's doing something beautiful. It's a beautiful little ritual that calms you, makes you feel good, and sort of centres you.
Ends the day.
It does. Ends the day. Mm-hmm. And knowing that you deserve to have a special little skewer. Mm.
Yep, exactly.
I like that. Here's to your little
skewer.
Here's to
that.
Here's to you. Here's your little
olive
skewer.
Cheers. Do most guests eat continuously like this?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
No, because I want to like...
I'm just aware I've been constantly eating. Yeah,
Sam's and Althea had about 5 plates of food, didn't she? Yeah, no, I mean, it was really important for us that we did this here at Mum's so everyone felt really comfortable. Yeah. But what we're still working on, Grimmy, is lighting. And I was trying to explain to my mum about lighting.
We were
lighting.
Like, what are we going to talk to Grimmy about? But I said, I want to talk to him about lighting because I love your specificity.
Yeah.
I love how very specific you are about lighting. And I also
and
love
the lighting
how
in your house
it
is incredible.
To you.
Yeah. It is. Talk it really about is. That. When it's telly time, big light off.
Big, light,
big
off.
Light is for
searching for your keys, filling in forms.
Oh, filling in a form. That is it. You're packing your holidays. Other than that, that big light does not
Why
need
is
to
it
come
on? Why is it on?
His ritual when he gets in is a cocktail. My ritual is I like to, you know, get the lighting right.
Nice
and I'll
like
even
area.
Go upstairs and do it before bed. Fine. So I'll go upstairs and have the lamps on.
Oh, me
and,
too.
Like, the
and
the bathroom light on just
totally.
Nice.
And
then
what
when
do
you
we
go
call
upstairs.
That?
Oh.
What do you call that?
We call it waking up the house.
Oh, yeah.
Wake up the house.
Wake up the house.
I love that. And Grimmy, you've always had lovely homes. And I don't just mean like big houses. And I don't mean like you know interiors or you're good with interiors. But when I read your book, when I read Soft Lad, which I just absolutely adored. I told you properly, right?
You really, really did.
So good.
I was really happy you liked it.
I still haven't read it. I feel really bad.
Don't worry. Neither's Mish. Don't worry.
Oh, my God. Mish,
Me, she's like, yes. Yeah, like,
I know.
Me, you need to get it on audiobook.
No.
I've heard his voice enough.
I don't need to hear him.
No, thanks.
No, I feel.
I was like, are you going to read it? He was like, I've heard.
I've promised him. I said, I will honestly, I know I'm going to read it. I just have not read it yet.
Fine.
That's how.
Which is fine.
But you know what? I've known Grimmy for 20 years and I thought I'd know the book before I read it. I was like, I think I'll know what this will be like, and what's about. I was like, this, wow. I just love you. You're a brilliant writer.
Oh, thanks, Keith. Thank you. It was hard, but I did like it. Do you know what's annoying about writing a book? You're like, you get good at it and then so it's good at the end. And then you're like, oh,
now
it's
I'm in
good.
Good.
And I could do it again. They're like, just hand it in.
As the two people on the table, they've written a book.
Yeah.
How does one approach the idea of a second book? Mm. I actually, about 3/4 of the way writing Pepperpot Diaries, I realised I was having such a good time that I definitely wanted to write another one.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already started thinking about 2 other books that I want to write because I just love the act of writing. I really enjoy it. I find it really calming and it's quite good for me, who's always out, everything's always external, to do something actually me. So you talk about internal kind of health and thought. Mm-hmm. It's actually really good for me to do something that's quite stilling and calming and quieting.
And there's no way around it.
There's no way around
there's
it.
No,
just
no,
get
you
it
can't
done.
You have to
feel
it.
I know
out
that
out
feeling
it.
When you suddenly like you get like hold of a phrase or you start a thought and you think, oh, I know what it is. And then you're on a flow and it's like this. It's like a good plate of food. It's like sustenance.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
But then
when you get to the end of that thought, I'm like, boom, and I fucking nailed it.
But it's crazy to fill a page. I mean, because I can't paint for shit, but I can't imagine what it's like to have a blank canvas and then to make art. That's insane to me. But I can write. And when I've written small pieces, I just love filling a page. There's something very, very rewarding.
Very
satisfying. It's really satisfying.
I was definitely, I didn't have every day like the one Andy just described. Where it was like sustenance. There was days where I was like, I fucking hate this.
Really?
And I was like,
a lot
this
of people's
fucking
like
book.
Was there
I was
anything,
having tantrums and everything.
Was there anything in particular you hated writing about the most? Was there any, most difficult?
No, I didn't find any of it difficult. I found difficult things like talking about my dad dying or talking about how I felt coming to terms with my sexuality as a teenager easier than like trying to remember funny stories because I actually find it really therapeutic and it was really good for me, I think, to write them things because you don't sit and think, oh, how do I feel about this that happened to me? Mm. And you don't really do that as humans.
Unless you go to therapy.
Unless you go to therapy.
Which I do.
But even then, and I do it sometimes. Sorry. Sorry, Nicola. I will be back.
I know, I haven't been for ages. Sorry,
I know,
Amy.
But when I'm like... when I
sorry,
feel,
Amy. Sorry, Sarah.
Sorry.
I go every week.
When I feel like... fine, like this. I'm like, I don't need her. Yeah.
And then you hit a wall,
and that's
and
not
like,
how it works. No. Is it? Like you have to bank it.
And also, yeah. It's interesting to keep doing therapy.
Yeah,
I realize it's quite interesting to keep doing therapy and keep doing magic and working on those things when you're not trying to survive something or get out of something and get yourself ready for the next blow because it's
next
coming.
Blow, yeah, oh. Yeah. Don't worry, it's coming.
But that was one of our. That was a really big loss for you. And then I went into your room and I saw a book next to your bed. About dealing with grief.
Mm. Yeah, it was hard. It was
really
hard.
Never really talked about it with you.
Yeah, it was really hard. I didn't read that book, which is quite my bedside. Just lots of books I didn't read. But
what helped you then at that time?
What helped me? I think my dad's perspective on it helped me. Mm. Like he was sick for a few years. So he had cancer, and then he became sort of at peace with it.
Right.
So he sort of was, he was always a realist, my dad, like totally realist. And so he said it as it was. Mm. So I wrote in the book a bit about when we went to an Adele concert and she shouted us out and dedicated a song. And my mum was like, oh my God, is that the most amazing thing ever? And my dad was like, well, yeah. She knows him. So that was my dad's hot take. He was like, why is that?
Well, it's not weird.
Why is that?
Not weird, it's his friend.
Not weird, it's his teacher. Like, not weird. Yeah. So my dad was like that. So
he pragmatist.
Was, yes, a pragmatist. And like very like, you know, straight up. So when he knew that he was not going to have chemo again. Right. And
was that a choice?
Yeah, it was a choice. And he just knew he didn't want to do it again. Yeah. And he was like, you know, that's life.
Yeah.
He actually said to me, which was like kind of funny, but not funny in one of those situations. And I remember my dad didn't get sick really. He died on like on a weekend, and the weekend before he was like at home watching Man United downstairs. And then he sort of deteriorated over a few days and then before he died. But he didn't, you know, die in hospital. He died at home, like with his family, and he knew that was going to happen. And he was like, "That's the dream way to go.
Not in pain."
And he was like, "I remember him being in bed and me going up to him, and it was like the day before he died." And I was like talking to him. My dad was like, "Might happen to you next." And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Well, everyone dies." And I was like, yeah, that's right. And I was like, deep moment. And he was just like, well, yeah, could
you're
be
next.
You next.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a hot take on
yeah.
it. So he was like, this is, you know, he was very grateful. And I remember him talking about how proud he was of us and what a journey he'd come on.
Oh, it's lovely.
It felt like as it was obviously horrible and obviously heartbreaking.
But also beautiful.
But it also felt... he felt reassured in, you know, in a life that he'd led.
To me, what you're talking about is it's beautiful that you got that, to have that
totally
with him.
Totally, like, love
you
that.
Know, it's when my brother died, like, really young.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't think he was going to die. Like, you know, we were together on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. He was dead the next fucking Thursday. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
and
you don't think your 27-year-old brother's going to die.
Yeah, make peace with it.
Yes.
And sort of, so you're grieving it before it's happened as well. Right. Yeah. It's not like a shock.
And also, I think to know that he was settled in himself.
Yeah.
Should we have a cheers to Pete?
Let's have a cheers to Pete.
And to Sean and to all of them.
I'd like to talk about me being your guru.
Oh. So if you've read the book, you'd know you're all over it.
Yeah. And if you'd read it, means you'd know.
Yeah.
I'm sat here and I'm like,
he's like, book.
No, but it was so interesting because it's about bloody love stuff. And I was like, she's my mother. We both get this advice, my love life is not that great. And you found Mish. Mm. But then I found
you. No, but Andy's just very good at advice.
Yes. Mm.
And I probably take it better because...
I'm not your mother.
Yeah, Andy's not my mum. So you will have been like, all right, mom. I'm not saying you do that, but
that's exactly
you may do that.
Yeah.
But that's a natural, you know.
Were you there?
Not saying
a natural
you do,
bit
not saying
of lineage,
you do that.
Isn't it?
Not saying you do that, but I have seen you do
that. Yeah, I'm not saying you do that. I have seen you do it for the last 20 years. Not saying you do that. But do you know what I mean? So you're less like, oh my God, okay. Yeah.
But you don't appreciate your parents when you're kids.
No.
Even I think I've honestly really started to only really appreciate my mom and Garth.
about 4 years ago.
Wow.
Wow. It's
okay,
honest.
People, so did you get that? Yeah. Sorry, Tom, did you get that? Yeah. Great. So the just want to make
the
sure.
The previous 35 years, yeah. Absolute no respect.
Absolute garbage. No, dog thing. Shit, all of it.
The same thing, Mish, you weren't around for the Birdcage days. It's such a shame because you loved it. But when my parents ran the Birdcage.
Oh, God, it makes me tired.
Again, everyone's like, your parents are so cool. This is great. Oh, it's like, yes, but they're also parents. And when they're doing this, they don't really have time to do that other thing called parenting.
Oh, excuse me, 35.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Oh my God, sorry, did I not make you pack lunch?
I was 28. I still needed a
parenting. When you were 15.
28?
No.
No, I know.
The nest is closed.
No.
And you flown.
Only in the,
I changed a lot. Only in the pandemic did I get used to like when they got stuck in Antigua for 3 months in lockdown. Oh, no. And I was in like Leeds doing a Steph show. Only then did I go, oh, I guess this is me having to learn how to not rely on my parents. Even though I've been independent since I was very young, I am really reliant on my parents' like love, safety and guidance. How do you feel about Instagram, Grim? I think you're quite good on Instagram.
How do I feel? I feel like...
If you weren't a broadcaster, would you have Instagram?
No, do you?
No?
No.
I'm really like, I'm actually quite a private person. Mm.
Listen, she says on a podcast. Filmed at home.
That we chose to do from our own home. Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. No, I think it's good. I think it's different layers of it.
I mean, I'm a show-off. Of course, I am a show-off.
And then there's different layers of it and how people use it. There's I love Instagram for looking at interior stuff or galleries or nice chair design. Yeah, yeah.
It's because three of the people at this table are broadcasters, but you know what? You're a dancer. It's part of your life as well.
So it really should be. I've ignored it, but it
should be. Yeah, you're not very showy-offy about your work.
No, not at all. I actually never share my work.
I have to be like his agent and being like, get a video of that.
Absolutely. I find Instagram more enjoyable when I'm in it like that. Like, let me get the video of that. Let me put that up. Using it to build the things you want to build in your life.
And showing good work that we've done. Like, we did a Radio Times cover thing the other day. Mm. And when we looked at our room and it was like Ebony and all our team, it was like all these young women, mainly women of colour.
Yeah, we couldn't
all
believe it.
Young women in this room. Young women, me. But I was so proud of us. I was like, look what we've done. Yeah. We created this team, these brilliant women, all getting to do this fucking work that they feel passionate and excited
everyone
about.
In their own
and
role.
We just started this and we had the cover of the Radio Times. It just felt like amazing.
Yeah.
So putting that kind
putting
of stuff
together,
on Instagram feels great because it's like sharing your pride.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think when there's something to say, great. Use it as that. It's just when you see people's Instagrams and it's like, hey, I'm just going to run you through my breakfast.
Oh my
so
God.
I have yogurt. And berries, and then I drizzle some honey, and it's like that's bread, like,
cereal.
It's cereal. And it's like as if a lot of people think it's they've invented whatever they're talking about. Like, so I'm just gonna show you if you put lemon in your water.
It's interesting because you know what people are striving for is to feel that they have to have the most kind of individual, bespoke experience of life and to feel that they are special and unique. Mm. And I think that gets lost on Instagram where people are trying desperately to be unique in a place where everyone's saying the same thing in a weird way. I think all we desperately want to feel is special and different.
And not like, different, like our posts.
I like it when I say something that I really mean, like with my whole chest, like politically, and there's like, you know, several thousand people agreeing. I'm like, because I feel then that I'm using the platform for good.
For good,
and that I'm using my voice for good. And I
feel
do
like
think
I need to take a leaf out of that book.
And I think if you have a platform, you should use it responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
You
I'm so
think
politically inclined about everything, but I don't ever
outwardly so true. Share. Yeah.
I think also there's a fear to it too. Like, if we're at a dinner table, I'm literally like...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but I can't have that... Well, also, you have to find that voice.
I don't argue with people on social media. I feel like, why the fuck... If I met you in a party, I would just walk off because you're a moron.
Yeah.
Why am I going to fucking spend my time talking to you on social media when I think you're a cretin?
Yeah. Would you be really happy if all social media disappeared?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I don't know how life... I think we'd be like...
I think we'd be weird for a month and then
we'd be okay.
You know, like, when you lose your phone for about a day, it's like, oh my God, what the fuck am I doing? And then 2 days you go, it's okay, nice. And then it's week one, like, well, I just went through and you're like, this is unbearable.
I did 2 weeks and it was actual hell.
You do miss out. Like, even if you want to accept that or not, like, not having a presence socially on social media, you do feel like you're really missing out.
Totally.
Even though you're literally not missing out on anything. Because it's just
I know, because then you
thing.
Go back
like,
to it.
You do like,
same. Like now they have, same. You know, there's people kind of going, look at this is my Easter table.
I know.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, Easter
table?
Nobody can put it in a table.
No, Mum. That's just you. She doesn't think Easter exists.
Oh, I hate Easter.
No, do you hate Easter?
It just annoys
Easter
me.
Was it never
won't
big
stay still for a start.
No.
I don't even know
yeah,
when it
is.
When
the
fuck is Easter? Easter's early this year. Is it? Because when was it late?
It.
When's it fucking meant to be? Shut up about Easter.
Yeah, why does it move?
And now they're like, we're going for Easter. This is the Easter. I'm like, what's an Easter table?
Well, everything's trying to be a thing now, isn't
yes,
it? Like, so much more. I saw everyone going mad in the paper the other day that this morning tried to do Halloween trees. And it was like,
Halloween
how to decorate
trees?
Your Halloween
oh,
tree. And everyone was like,
oh,
no, not a thing.
Well, like getting a tree in for
like
Halloween.
Like a Christmas tree that's you decorate
no,
with Halloween.
Oh, things. Stop.
No,
stop. No, it's too close to
stupid.
Christmas.
That's stupid. Someone had an Easter wreath. Do you remember near us?
Oh, you're
no,
so
I like Easter. It's just hard.
Oh,
but that's because I'm religiously inclined.
Did you hear that?
Religiously
that's
inclined?
Like religiously inclined.
Well, she's
so
a priest at our wedding, isn't she? Wait, you're religiously
the fish,
inclined?
I guess I found like deep connection to spirituality and
that's
faith.
That's different to
four
religion.
4 years ago. But I've always been very interested in Christianity, but my mum wasn't, so it was...
No, it's not that. I'm just not going to church.
Yeah, and I really wanted to.
I don't
want
to go to church.
Did you want to go? I used to get dragged every Sunday. That's why I don't like it.
That's why I hate it.
Did you just have to go?
Sunday school.
I went out of choice with my grandparents. I think it was more me touching base with something that they were so obsessed with. But the only time I ever really went to church was actually like midnight mass with my mum. I'd be at the pub. Then I'd meet my mum, and then she'd be like,
midnight mass. That's
exactly.
The problem.
Yeah,
it's late,
weird.
And it's Christmas.
It's midnight.
It's Christmas.
So like, it would be tradition for us to always go together, which we always did. And we still, we don't aww. Now, but like, I know we'll be able to do it again. And we'd go, sit at the back, laugh, piss about. Not at the thing,
no,
but
having
I would
a,
be
nice
like,
little,
a nice little...
And then that would be our tradition. But we didn't sort of see it as like a religious thing. We saw it as more of just
a
thing.
A communing together.
Yeah, like a thing that we did.
Almost like a community thing
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
You and
yeah,
Nanny go.
Nikita yeah. goes with my mum.
Do you? Mm. When do you go to church?
Midnight mass.
Oh, midnight mass. Yeah.
At Christmas, they go to midnight mass.
I love it.
That's the other thing I really loved about the book. I realised why we're such good friends, because there was so much that you talked about as a kid that I felt as well, like me and Grimmy love, like the telly and not like streaming, like
no,
the telly.
Scheduled.
Like children,
yeah.
what?
Yeah.
Schedule. Children
I'm
in need.
Still now yeah. on my remote, I just go up to 5. I'm like, yeah. there's nothing on. Like, you know, we have Netflix and Disney Plus and Apple TV.
Just
and I'm like, yeah,
up.
But there's nothing on.
Do you think that's a reflection of, well, what came first? Being a broadcaster and loving TV like that, or loving TV like that and becoming a broadcaster? For me, it's why I became a broadcaster, I think.
Same. I like this yeah. unified feel that everyone's watching that. I'd rather watch something...
Oh my God, you and him are the same.
I'd
that's
rather
why we're TV
watch
presenters.
Something I don't like on ITV at, say, 7:30.
Me
because
too.
I was like, oh, I don't really want to watch this, as opposed to putting something on Netflix that
really?
I
because you're not really meant to have a choice.
You're not meant to have
a choice.
How it was.
Yeah, but that's what my generation had to live with.
Yeah,
no,
but I just
we
like
didn't have
it.
A choice either in childhood.
No.
Like,
you, did
on?
You have videos?
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah, I did
we
have
didn't
videos.
Have videos. We had yeah. 3 channels. Mm. I remember Channel 4 starting mm. down the pub. I remember when they put Thriller on. Everybody left the pub early to go back and watch it.
See,
like,
I like that.
It was
imagine
big things, man.
Wow.
It was like Thriller is coming on. It was at 11 o'clock. Mm. We all left the pub early and went home to watch Thriller. It was like the launch on this new channel. Channel 4 was a big deal. And all my mates were on it, like Keith Allen, and everybody was on it. It was like, shit, and they're letting us on telly now.
On
telly. It was really like that.
Wow.
The land of freedom.
Yeah.
It was like a thing. For my generation, because we just had to watch what was on, that's how I got a kind of knowledge of film noir mm-hmm. and kind of, you know, literature that wasn't just the books that they gave me at mm-hmm. school. It was like I read, my mum took me to the library every 2 weeks mm-hmm. and I would get our 8 books. Every Saturday I would watch the Saturday afternoon film with, like, you know, Barbara Stanwyck, you know, Fritz Lang movies, mm-hmm. whoever, like, you know.
You
this
just
is
watched
this
what was
cool.
on.
Just watch what was on, and I got to, you know, Bette Davis, mm-hmm. like, but this is amazing mm-hmm. films, you know, Sunset Boulevard mm-hmm. and all of that stuff, and I learned about all that because that's what was there. And yeah. then my dad would come in and put the wrestling on.
But
that
right. Oh, my no. No point wrestling. Entirely. TV is at its best when it surprises you. And I love turning on and going, oh, what's this documentary about
yes.
Coco Chanel on BBC Two? Thank you. Or like the other day,
the
I turned
Nazi.
On the TV and it was that incredible new David... yes, Mum. That incredible new... They talk about that in the documentary, Loser. So
the
it's
Nazi
not, Mom,
lover.
Mum, what? Yeah, I turned on the TV the other day and and it was that incredible new David Oleshoger documentary, Union, about the makings of Great Britain.
Ireland.
I would never go to catch up, but I just love that this is on.
This is on.
On BBC Two on Tuesday night, and the country, if they allow themselves, will learn some shit they didn't know they needed to learn. Rather than, let me put Friends on because it's on 4OD or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're not met. Not everything should just be pleasurable on TV. You should be surprised and learn some shit. But I'm Andy, Real Housewives addict.
Excuse me.
Do you love Real Housewives?
Loves it. No. Can I explain that?
Yeah.
I feel like I should explain it. So I started watching it when I was on morphine, and I'd never watched Real Housewives. I kept going, I can't watch that shit. And then I was on morphine in the hospital, and I couldn't concentrate on anything, and I put it on and went, oh, this is quite good.
This is great.
This is perfect. This is perfect. Can't really see anyway.
I've never got into it.
So you watch TV to be like on. I watch it to be off.
Me too.
I want to not,
me too.
Like,
me
not
too.
Think, not. Yeah. I'm like, I want to dribble. That is how
I
feel.
My mum can't watch TV sitting up. She has to lie down. It has to be a duvet.
Nice up the area, man. Don't even. Don't like that's why I hate a shit sofa. Let's go going back to your
house.
You
ain't coming over to our house.
Do you watch telly in bed?
Yeah.
I love
telly in bed.
Oh my God.
Treat.
Since I moved here, I've got like a telly on the wall in my bedroom.
Yeah. So bad.
And I've got all the apps on it. I'm like, oh my God.
It's amazing.
Chat to me. Yeah, I will see you Wednesday.
Yeah, I love
I'm busy.
Yeah, I love that. I was never allowed a telly in my bedroom.
Oh, it's the best.
I was always.
I do love a telly.
Did you have a telly in your bedroom when you were little?
Yeah, I did, but I never really got to watch it. I was so, like,
you were busy doing athletics.
Yeah.
He was
busy,
which is why, I guess,
doing handstands
I guess
stuff.
When I come home, I'm like, I just want to watch something that's not going to make me think.
My mum was very sweet. No matter how poor we were, she always made sure that I had a, like,
had
situation
a
in my room. And I realised the other day we had this one flat, and it was a nice flat, but we really couldn't afford it. And they let me have the room, and my mum, Garfield, genuinely slept in a cupboard.
Tiny little room.
It was like a cupboard.
What? And she got the room?
I got the room.
Yes, no. Okay, it sounds like I'm just like some sacrificing mother.
Yeah,
but
wow,
actually,
Andy,
it makes sense.
Of the year.
Because if you give them the room, then they'll stay in it.
Right.
It's true, I never went in the
room.
But I didn't realise until I spoke to Garfield the other day how much like sacrifice you two made for me. I've never really thought about that. Proper.
I like your mum.
Yeah, she's good.
Eileen's just turned 80, so we're talking about aging.
Age, I know.
She's like on girls' holidays in Ibiza.
She's doing more than all of us.
Yeah, she is.
Really, like,
she's
really like,
she can't come to visit us in London because she's too busy. I've got a surprise birthday that day. I'm going out for dinner that night with the women I met in the pub.
I'm flying here.
I'm getting
then.
My hair and nails done. I'm flying Thursday. But I'm like, what is going on?
Do you think that's where you, not learnt, but kind of gravitated towards being such a social bunny? Because you are, not so much now that we're older, but in our 20s, being social, being around people was like number one for us. We never spent time alone.
We always house was really noisy. My mum's a chatter, actually, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. She likes a goss.
Yeah.
She's not loud, but
she's chats.
She's chats. My dad was loud. My brother, really loud. My sister, I think, it's the loudest. Yeah, it was a noisy household. And then my mum used to do these things called girls' nights, which she still does now. And they met when they were like 11. And they used to have a dinner party every month, take it in turns. And
there's
like 10 or 11 girls. So when they came to ours, it was like the highlight of my year. Because it was like all these women in their like 50s coming in like pencil skirts and denier tights. And they had like bobs and like clip-on earrings. So they'd get like dressed up to come
round. To come round to the house.
So it was the only time I saw like anyone dressed up. And they'd come round and have like perfume on and like, you know, like clip on
and
big
also with the intention of having fun.
Of having
there's
fun.
Something we know being a kid.
That's what we were taught.
And people come into the yard because to have fun specifically. I just think it's the best.
Thank you so much for coming for
Guys, thank you for having us.
It was absolutely delicious. Yeah. It was so banging.
Was
she
so
cooked
delicious.
From the heart
so
for you.
Thank
you.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.
See you at the wedding.
Bishop Nikita.
That's right.
I like that you and Grimmy have your own shmush, like weird being language for being cozy, because it's like shorthand for your friendship and happiness. And I love the way, as your mama and as his kind of, you know, unofficial guru.
What title are we going with?
I mean, I'm going to go with guru.
Okay.
I'm going to go with
in an unofficial capacity, life coach.
your
a guider
mama.
In his life, for
no,
sure.
No, but just somebody who I love him dearly. Watching how you two have grown as friends, it brings me great joy because it really is watching the evolution of a friendship. Because you were literally kids.
I know.
20. You were kids with a lot of success, a lot of kind of fuel driving your careers and a lot of eyes on you, and you were charging around. Some of it was good, some of it was disastrous, yeah. But you kind of come through, both of you. You kind of hit lows kind of simultaneously in different ways. It's just wonderful seeing you come to adulthood.
I did think
fully.
I did think you'd think that today, because I've been thinking about it a lot, and we've been through quite a lot together now, which is what happens when you're turning, well, you're both 39. Actually, we had times where Grimmy had real highs and I had real lows,
yeah.
And he really looked after me always, yeah. And to be doing well as grown-ups in our careers, but as together. Just as human beings together, it's just lovely. And having Misha and Grimmy together, I don't know whether people understand much about their relationship and the tenderness of it and the...
But you know, they don't need to, do they?
No.
It's not the business.
No, it's not the business, but that's what I was trying to explain to Mishak. It's not like this is the beginning of you doing a press tour about you and Grimmy's relationship. This is coming round to just share a little bit of truth about...
Did you hear what Misha said when he walked through the door?
No.
He went, oh, we're home.
Oh.
You know, it took us a minute to get Mish to say he would, you know, for Grimmy to get Mish to come with him, because Mish is a very private person and, you know, they don't do like public couple thing.
Yes.
So it felt like quite an honour to have Mish come and be so open and so relaxed and, you know, to feel like we can make that kind of space for people.
I almost don't want to say it's a podcast. I almost want to say, do you just want to come round?
Just come
round.
We're
kind of recording it.
We will be recording it. We will be recording it. And we will film it. And you can watch it on YouTube and you can listen to wherever you find your podcast. However,
it's just a chat.
Just come over.
Just come over and be with us.
Just come over.
Yes, this is the best thing we ever decided to do.
It is good.
It really is. It fills up my heart every single time.
It fills up my heart, and this time I'm a little bit tipsy.
You're pissed, aren't you? Pissed, aren't you?
Not like fully. Rhubarb margarita, it's a thing.
The recipes will be on our Instagram Stirring It Up page.
Yeah, Stirring Up on Instagram with all the little bits. There was loads of little bits.
We were like, we need a house for the details. We want to give everyone the recipes and so people can really smell and taste what we're having at all these beautiful gatherings.
Also, I'd like people to really see how rude you actually are. Coming funny.
Oh, you're going to...
Oh, that's where the truth lies,
oh, you're going to get the shock.
Where the truth lies.
You're going to get the shock of your life when actually you see how rude you look.
I know. Bless your poor little deluded heart.
Cheers.
You're too damn feisty.
How can you call me feisty? I'm the mother.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.